Need to get my breath back after that one. Right. The reading from Genesis chapter 22, starting at verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father?" "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed me." Then Abraham returned to his servants, and they set off together for Beersheba. And Abraham stayed in Beersheba. Amen.
Kezia, thank you for reading God's word to us. My friends, if you're a guest or a visitor and church is unusual to you, what we do every Sunday as a Bible-centered church is we read a portion of God's word and then consider it together and see what God is saying to us today, because we believe this is God's word, not just a historic record, but it's his word to us today. So we're going to pray and ask his help as we begin to do that. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your word is truth. Would you help us now? Come, Holy Spirit, and help us now to understand your message for us today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, today is a rite of passage, and if you want a title for this sermon, I've called it Rites of Passage. Baptism. The moment we mark in the Christian church someone's entry into God's people. If you come from the world, we say, grown up, as Susie has in a Christian church, then this usually happens quickly after you make a decision for the Lord. For Susie, as it was indeed for me, it's come over a period of time. As time and again, I've been challenged. We were challenged to grow into the faith that we were taught by family and by church. But it is still a significant moment as you enter into, and we mark the entry into God's people. Susie has chosen much of the service today, the hymns, and indeed you heard her say how she loves to hear the Old Testament reflect in the new. I hope I'm going to do that justice today, Susie, but you've indicated that this passage is one of those that you love, and it does contain much that future echoes. So in this passage, what we're going to find is, although this happened thousands of years ago, thousands of years before Jesus Christ, we're going to find predictions, prophecies, future echoes of what will happen with more significance, with greater measure in later time. So we are looking, if you will, at a rite of passage for Abraham. And it's certainly a rite of passage for Isaac as he came to understand what it meant to follow this way. The one we have recorded for us, it is history, is unique. It's not something that is repeated. I think most of us are pleased to know that. This is a unique occasion. And when we study the Bible together like this, we believe we're not just reading history books that God's people have written down, but we believe that God, the Holy Spirit, has overlaid his plan onto that. And these writings are accurate for us. They're useful to us. And so we can look at individual words and understand that they're there for a reason. God is speaking to us in the words, the verses, and the whole account. So let's walk through the account and see what God is saying. It will help you and it will help me if you have a Bible open in front of you. You can borrow one from us, or you can look online. There's an internet connection as well. Do if you can. And what you will see as you look at verse 1 is we read God tested Abraham. This is the opening comment. And it sets the context for everything that is to follow. We mustn't forget this, otherwise the idea of child sacrifice would become a horrible thing. It is a horrible thing. But we have to understand that this isn't about child sacrifice, it's about a test. Isaac is, the possibility is that Isaac is going to be killed by his father as an offering. No, it isn't. This is a test by God of his servant Abraham. Now, I know a lot of you have just sat a variety of tests, shall we call them that, rather than refer to them by their other names. But what are they? What are those, you know, where you sit for 3 hours? I'm not going to use the word, the E word. What is it when you sit there? Is it not just a test of how much you've learned? Is it not actually the examining board making a measure of where you're at? It's not designed to trip you up and leave you flummoxed. They could do that if they really wanted to. Let's set aside Ed Excel and the maths, shall we? But they're writing a paper to test you, to discover what you have learned. And that's what God is doing here with Abraham. So that at the end of this, Abraham can know with certainty where he stands with God. Isn't that glorious? Isn't that great? To know with certainty where you stand with God. So we have a test. And it's a test not set by frail human teachers who get things wrong. Ed Excel. This is a test set by Almighty God who doesn't make mistakes. So although the stakes look very high, sacrifice your only son, this is Almighty God who loves us and cares for us and doesn't want us to end up lost in the mess that we make for ourselves in this broken down, sin-sick world. This loving God tests Abraham to show Abraham how far he has come, how much he has learnt. Did you catch the very first words of chapter 22? Sometime later. A better translation might be after these things. And therefore you're meant to say after what things? And of course you're meant to look back at the life of Abraham and how God has walked with him all these years to this point. This didn't come out the blue. This didn't come after 2 years of education and practice. This came after nearly a lifetime. For many people more than a lifetime. Of walking with God and learning from God. Of being trained by God, of being encouraged by God. My friends, here is something we should understand. God is our creator. He knows how to train us and teach us and draw us and lead us and guide us into the right way. He knows how to take us from darkness to light. That's Abraham's story. He knows how to take us from ignorance to knowledge, from misguided mistakes to a position of glorious praise and worship. God wants to be your personal tutor. as he was for Abraham, as he is for Susie. And yes, along the way, he will test you, but not until you're ready. And God knew Abraham was ready for this, which is indeed the ultimate A-level. It is the ultimate test. I suspect 10 years earlier, this request would probably have crushed Abraham. As you read the account of him learning about faith, I'm not sure, I'm speculating. I guess it may well be true for us who've walked some time with God. And Susie, as you continue with God, we need to be aware that tough tests will come. Strange things happen in this life. But the scriptures tell us God knows the times and the seasons and never lets us be tempted beyond that which we can bear. God knows that before that time of hardship comes. And even though he leads us into it, it is a test to prove our faith. It is not designed to make us fail. Forgive me, we're still in verse 1, and I promise we'll speed up, otherwise we will be here all day and we won't get outside to the picnic. But I want to make sure we understand and set the scene well and understand what's going on, because if we miss this point, it becomes a very different thing. Notice still in verse 1, Abraham's response to this call to be tested. Here I am. Time and time again in Scripture we will hear one who is called by God say, here I am. For those of you who know your Bibles, you can track that through a number of prophets, a number of people. This is the right response when God calls. Not, huh? In a minute. Or a quiet silence. Or in my day, we grew up in a big old house and Mum and Dad had rigged up a battery-powered bell when dinner was ready and they would press the bell and it would buzz upstairs and we'd just do that to say we'd heard. Sometimes the of me going down the stairs was significantly delayed after the to say I'd heard. And that's what we're saying you mustn't do. Here I am, says Abraham. This is an answer of trust and faith. This is an answer of happiness to be in communion with God, expectation of what God has in store for him. My friends, if God has never knocked on the door of your life, don't be afraid when he does. Because it is not to bring you hardship or unhappiness or trial or tribulation. I promise you it will be to bring you good stuff. God doesn't know how to give us bad things. He is the giver of all good things. And if I can dare to tell you how to answer the question before perhaps he's asked it, when he does, say, here I am. And listen for what he would have you do with your life. The sense of expectation continues. It's full here in Abraham. He does not doubt. There's no sense of doubt in what Abraham does. Over the next few verses, there's a repeated sense of commitment and positive action. Abraham gets up very early. That's the pattern for his life. So where is that? It's in verse 2, I think, doesn't it? Or is it in verse 3? I should have written it down so I could tell you. There you go, verse 3. So Abraham got up early in the morning. That's a pattern in his life. Every time there's something important to do, he starts early and well. And then he makes proper provision for the trip. This isn't something thrown together. He actually makes sure he has everything he needs. It's listed here. And he takes some servants along with him to make the way, the journey work and be simpler. 3 days, we read, he bore the burden. Abraham's exam was, I've said it. I wasn't going to say the E word, sorry. Abraham's test was 3 days long. What was your longest this year? 3 hours? My final degree papers were 3 hours. That was the worst I ever sat. Abraham's test was 3 days long. 3 days we might say, and here we start to hit the hints of things to come in the future. For the place appointed by God for this sacrifice is Mount Moriah. which will reappear in our Bibles, 2 Chronicles chapter 3. Don't turn there now. But that's the site where God halts the plague of Jerusalem. It's the site where Solomon builds the temple. This is the vicinity of Calvary. And listen to Abraham as he gives testimony to the faith he has in God. Abraham, verse 5, said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there to worship. Then we will come back to you." That's not a mistake in translation. Okay? Do you hear what that says? Abraham and Isaac are going to a place of sacrifice where God has said, "Kill your son." And Abraham says to these guys, "We," plural, "the two of us, I and my son Isaac, will come back to you." Now, he's either mad or he knows something of this God he serves. Did he intend not to do what God had asked of him? Was he planning to go and somehow try and defraud God and say, "I've done it," when Isaac was not there? No, he wasn't. Was he deluded? Was he mad? Was he irrational in any way? No, he wasn't. The sense is very clear. Abraham will go on to say in verse 8, when Isaac asks the question, God himself will provide. That's Abraham's understanding. God had miraculously provided Isaac in the first place, and now Abraham believes that he will receive Isaac back from the dead if that is God's plan. And that's what it looks like to him. And so we read later in Scripture, because the New Testament often reflects on and expands on the Old. And in a letter written to the church, the Jewish followers of the Lord Jesus later on, a book called Hebrews, and chapter 11, we read this: "By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. He received the promises, and yet he was offering his one and only son, the one to whom it had been said, 'Your offspring will be called through Isaac.' He," that is Abraham, "considered God to be able even to raise someone from the dead. Therefore, he received Isaac back," figuratively speaking. And so we read in verse 8, they went forward together on this journey. And that's another point, pointing forwards to another day in human history when a father and a son would walk a dark road to sacrifice. And they walked together, not just any father and any son, but the Father and the Son. It was not Christ alone who willingly died, or the Father alone who gave his Son, but they went, both of them together, even as Abraham and Isaac did here. And so the Father and the Son walked to Calvary. But Abraham and Isaac arrive, and the sacrifice is laid out in all order and done properly. And indeed, so it seems, does Isaac go along with it, although I imagine he was mightily scared. And having acted in true faith, Abraham passes the test, which finishes in verse 11 with the voice of the angel: "Abraham, Abraham, here I am." Isaac's life is not required this day, for God will provide a substitute. And in verse 14, when all is properly done, Abraham names the place Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. Or perhaps, actually, the Hebrew might read, God will see. But actually, the fact of the matter is It means both things. And for us in English, the Latin root of see is provide as well for our English language. We don't need big wells, see a need, fill a need when we deal with God. For him to see a need is for him to fill that need. As he sees something is needed, he provides. Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. A substitute was needed. Isaac should not die this day. And a ram is found. My friends, there has been since this day of Abraham and Isaac another sacrifice offered in this place. Another son was asked to carry the wood on his back. Did you notice that? The wood that would bring about his death. It wasn't a faggot of sticks, a bundle of sticks to make a fire. It was a beam of a cross on which he would hang. Another son walked with the father to the place of execution. Oh yes, other human hands played their part. But the father and the son went willingly to Calvary despite the burden and the pain. And on that day, which we still celebrate at Easter every year, at that day, Jesus Christ was the substitute. You see, I was supposed to die on a cross like that. So was Susie. My sin is so horrible that it cannot be allowed to stand before God. He is righteous and holy, and his home is righteous and holy. The things that I have done are ugly, and when seen in the light of his goodness and grace, they have no place with him in heaven. So how can I be what my Father in heaven wants me to be? How can you? How can Susie? How can we one day be proved righteous and stand with him? Not by anything we do, but by the substitute, provided by God himself, so that we can be received back as if from dead. And wonder of wonders, to prove it true, Jesus was not received back by his friends as if from death. Isaac never died, the ram did. But Jesus really did die. He died on the cross. And in the moment of his death, he took our sin with him. And we know that because he said, "My God," as in my Father who has walked with me thus far, my God, why have you now forsaken me? Why, when we have walked this road together, am I now left on my own? And why would God the Father forsake God the Son unless God the Son bore our sin on his shoulders and bore it away? Nothing else will separate that bond. So Jesus bore my sin and Susie's sin away on the cross, but death could not hold him. He rose for real. He was completely and fully dead. He died. He paid the price. He has risen again. And we too can have living hope that we can know the faith that Abraham had to walk whatever road is before us. You see, my friends, faith is a gift from God. Faith is trusting that God will provide all that you need, and especially so that you might be with him for all of eternity. Will you not hear that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are saying to you today in these words from this Bible passage, in Susie's words and deeds, Jesus is saying to you, please accept this gift of faith. Trust me for all you will need from now until eternity. All your problems and issues will be provided for. I will test your faith and build it in you, and your eternal future will be secure with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in heaven, their home, forevermore. This is the promise that is pictured in the Old Testament with Abraham and Isaac. It is fulfilled in Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary when he walked there with the Father and the Father left him there to die with our sin. And it can be real to you today as it is for Susie and many more. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for your word, for your word is truth. We thank you for this picture of what happened so many years later. We thank you for the faith of Abraham, tested and proved not wanting, but sufficient. We thank you that you had worked that in him. You had trained him and brought him to that point where he could trust that you would provide all that was needed to fulfill your word and to bring about your plan and your purpose to bless the nations, to bless him, to bless Isaac, and one day to produce Jesus and bless us all. Father, we thank you. And we ask that you would let us not forget this, but think deeply on it and trust in your unfailing provision and learn about your faith in the days and weeks to come. Amen.